I'm Catherine Giraudot with PodTech News, reporting from the Apple Worldwide Developer Conference at Moscone West Convention Center in San Francisco. In part two of Apple CEO Steve Jobs' keynote address, he unveiled the first five of the top 10 features for the next version of the Mac OS, codenamed Leopard. The new features include 64-bit support and an automatic backup system called Time Machine that allows users, as he explained it, to go back to any point in time and restore it to the present. This is PodTech News.
So, our transition's complete. Now let's talk about the software that runs on all these Macs, OS X. What have we been doing for the last 5 years? We've been putting out releases of OS X. Five major releases, starting in spring of 2001, and our last release was spring last year. And because of the progression of this software, I'm really pleased to report that we now have 19 million active Mac OS X users. The vast majority of our installed base is running OS X, and this is fantastic. We've also got a lot of critical acclaim. And as usual, Walt Mossberg said it best, the best and most advanced personal computer operating system. Because of this, I'm also pleased to report that our last major release of OS X, Tiger, has been Apple's most successful software product ever. So what have we been doing lately? What have we been doing lately? You know, we've had these great five releases. Well, we had a sixth major release that we don't get much credit for. And of course, that's Tiger on Intel that we shipped this past January. You know, porting an operating system to an entirely different processor architecture is no easy task. And our software team did a magnificent job of taking this on the PowerPC and turning it into this on Intel architecture. So, they made it look really easy, and it's gone seamlessly, which has enabled this amazing transition to occur in 210 days. But under the hood, and as you all know, this was 86 million lines of source code that was ported to run on an entirely different architecture with zero hiccups. Pretty amazing. And along the way, we created a way to build universal applications, applications that run on both the PowerPC and Intel. And again, I'm pleased to report that there are now over 3,000 universal applications shipping. And all of us at Apple would like to say thank you, guys. Thank you. You guys have done a phenomenal job in 210 days getting your application shipping universal. And there's a lot more being announced during the developer conference this week. So, this is what we've been doing for the last 5 years. What has our competitor been doing for the last 5 years? Well, they've been trying to ship a single release that's had many names, but is now called Vista. And to give you our thoughts on Vista, I'd like to bring up Bertrand Serlet. Thank you.
Two years ago at WWDC, we thought we'd poke a little bit of fun at the folks in Redmond who were still working on Longhorn. So we hung in the hallways of the conference those big banners that said, "Redmond, start your photocopiers." It was all a joke, but they actually took it seriously. Why am I saying that? Well, let's look at the typical screenshot of Tiger and what we've seen on the latest beta of Vista. Some similarities here. Let's look at Spotlight. Now, with Spotlight, finally, it's easier to find information on your local disk than information on the web. And we have this incredible technology under the hood. After the WinFS debacle, they've been scrambling to understand how to implement that stuff. Now, in terms of UI, they did a major innovation. Instead of having the menu on the top right, they put it on the bottom left. Another key technology is, of course, the browser technology. With Safari, we kind of restarted innovation and creation in the browser space by having a browser that's both elegant, simple, yet powerful. And in Tiger, we added a personal clipping assistant functionality, Safari RSS. Guess what? IE7 RSS. They even have the same layout for the little kind of filter box on the right. Now, talking of similar layout, there's our mail program. And for the longest time, a Windows that had this kind of combo that does mail and calendaring and address book, well, no longer. It's now an independent program. This is iCal, our calendaring program, and this is Windows Calendar. They even tried to copy the color scheme and didn't get that quite right. Now, this is a logo. Now, you may think that I made up the logo by taking the standard Microsoft Windows logo and adding a nice aqua bubble on top. No, that's the official logo. But, you know, underneath it all, it's still Windows. It still has the registry as its core. It's still DLL hell. And it has this well-loved feature that's called activation. If you can't innovate, I guess you just imitate, but it's never quite as good as the original. So, enough said about Vista. Vista is still in the future for Windows customers, but for us, it's features from our past. It's features we've had in Tiger, in Panther, some since the beginning of macOS 10, and we've already iterated several times on those features. So to talk about the future, our future, I'm going to turn back to Steve. Great job.
Thank you, Bertrand. You know, our friends up north spend over $5 billion a year on R&D, and yet these days all they seem to be able to do is try to copy Google and Apple. So I guess it's a good example of how money isn't everything. So this is what our friends are working on. What are we working on? We're working on the next major release of OS X called Leopard. And today we want to give you a preview of Leopard. So let me start off with some of the stuff that we can't show you. There's some top secret features to Leopard that we're going to keep a little close to the vest and not going to show you today. I just want you to know they're there. We don't want our friends to start their photocopiers any sooner than they have to. And so we're going to keep a few things a little secret. But we are going to show you and talk about 10 major things that are going to be in Leopard today. And I'm going to ask Scott Forrestall to help me here. So let's start off with number one. Scott?
Thanks, Steve. So the first feature of Leopard I'd like to tell you about is support for 64-bit applications. Now, in Tiger, we brought support for 64-bit at the Unix layer. And that means the Mac Pros that we announced and are shipping today ship with support for Unix, because those Mac Pros are based on a 64-bit Intel architecture. But in Leopard, we're taking this support a giant leap forward. We're going to extend the 64-bit support all the way up through our UI frameworks, Carbon and Cocoa, right to your applications. This means in Leopard, you can have a fully native 64-bit UI Carbon application. You can have a fully native UI Cocoa application. And we did this in a completely 32-bit compatible way. So the same frameworks that support 32-bit now also support 64-bit. That means you can run 32-bit applications side by side with 64-bit applications. None of these applications are emulated. None of them are translated. They all run completely natively. So full 64-bit support, top to bottom, that's number one. Number two, this is a big one. Time Machine. When I look on my Mac, I find these pictures of my kids that, to me, are absolutely priceless. And in fact, I have thousands of these photos. If I were to lose a single one of these photos, it would be awful. But if I were to lose all of these photos because my hard drive died, I'd be devastated. I never, ever want to lose these photos. So what should I do? What does everyone tell you to do to make sure your photos are all secure and you don't lose them? Back it up. Right? So everyone says it. You are all saying it. We all know we should back it up. And I know I should back up, but I don't. And so we asked our customers, we ran a survey to say, well, who out there is backing up? And the survey said, 26%. Only a quarter of our users are backing up their files in any way whatsoever regularly. A quarter. Now, if you dig a little deeper into this, you find that most of these people who say they're backing up are actually sort of periodically, manually dragging a few files or folders onto a CD and burning that CD. So there's no schedule for this. They might forget. They might not back up all of their stuff. They're really not secure. So when we dig in and say, well, how many people in general are using automated software to make sure they're always backed up and always in a good state? The answer, 4%. Only 4% of us are using automated software to make sure that all of this valuable content is being backed up. We plan to change all of that in Leopard with a feature we call Time Machine. Time Machine automatically backs up your Mac. If you change a file, that file is automatically backed up. And we back up everything. We back up all of your photos, all of your music, all of your documents, all of your files, your folders, your applications, your operating system, your software updates, everything. We back up absolutely everything, which means we can restore everything. So if your hard drive dies, you can buy a new hard drive, put it in your machine, and be right where you were before that hard drive died. We can restore everything. On top of this, you can restore a la carte. So if there's one file that you're missing, you can go and restore just that one file. One photo, one folder, whatever, you can restore just that one item. We allow you to back up to a hard drive or a server. So in this case, you can plug an external hard drive in. We'll automatically notice the hard drive, configure it automatically, and start backing up your machine. But the coolest part about Time Machine, and the reason we call it Time Machine, is because we have a whole new way of backing up and restoring your files. Have you ever had an incident where you're working on a document, and you do a save, and you meant to do a save as, and you just overwrote that original, and you didn't want to do that? In the back row. And you wish you could just go back in time before you'd done that and recover that file and bring it back to the future. With Time Machine, you can. Have you ever looked in a folder for a presentation. That presentation's missing. It's not there. But you remember, last month, you were working on that presentation, and it was in that folder. Don't you wish you could just go back in time to last month, when that presentation was in the folder, and you could grab that presentation out of the folder and bring it back to the present? With Time Machine, you can. And you know, let me show that to you now. So here we are, sitting on the Leopard desktop. I'm going to bring up the Finder. This is the standard Finder. On my sidebar here, I have this thing called Important Stuff. And these are the five files that my son and I were working on the four files that my son and I were working on. There was a presentation he was working on that used to be in this folder. This is generally when panic sets in. It used to be here, Dad. What happened? So with Time Machine, no worries. You go down here to the dock. This is Time Machine. Click on that, and we enter Time Machine. So as you can see, time is a dimension that recedes back into your desktop. Back to the beginning. Let me cancel out of that. So here you are at your desktop. And here is Time Machine. You notice the stars are all moving. It's all alive. I have a timeline on the right-hand side here. So I can go ahead and let me go back in time to yesterday. This is exactly as your entire machine stood yesterday. I can go back 2 days. You know, I'm not sure exactly where that file was, so I can click on this arrow, and it's going to fly me through time until it finds a difference in this folder. Here we go. We're going back through time. It's looking for... Oh, there it is. So as you can see on the bottom, this file was deleted sometime after Saturday, June 24th. It is here. I can double click to get a preview of it. Yep, this is exactly the presentation he was working on. And now to bring it back to the present, I just click restore, done. I can open up. It's in Keynotes. This is exactly the presentation. It is that easy to go back in time and bring back things that you want to restore. This is Time Machine. Now, Time Machine works with more than just the Finder. It can work with other apps. In fact, it can work with your apps as well. Let me go into the address book, and I'm going to look for Sonia. Now, it's not there. Well, it turns out a few days ago, I was cleaning up my address book, so I deleted some old contacts I didn't need anymore. I must have accidentally deleted Sonia's. Again, no worries. And our Time Machine, here we are. Now, if I click on this arrow, it's going to fly through time doing the search for Sonia at every point in the past until I see her coming. There she is. Again, I just click restore, it pulls that card from the past, brings it back to my address book, now there's Sonia. It's that easy. Time Machine. But as I said earlier, the most important thing to me are photos. So let's bring up iPhoto. Now there's an entire roll of film missing from an Italy trip I took here. Again, no worries. Click on Time Machine, go ahead. Get iPhoto. All right. That's why we have backups. I'm going to go ahead, bring up iPhoto. In the oven. Bring up. Yes, I wish I could go back in time before that happened. Here I am in iPhoto. click, fly through time until it finds those photos, select the photos right in here, hit restore, restores them all right back to the present. There they are now in iPhoto. So that is Time Machine. We think it is absolutely the best way to back up all of your files, everything you have, restore everything, but the coolest thing is the ability to go back in time to restore files and bring them back to the present. Time Machine. Number three, I'd like to turn it back to Steve.
So, the third feature of Leopard that we want to talk about today is we're going to deliver the complete package. Now, what do I mean by this? We've got some really cool software that's out in beta form right now, and we've got other applications that we only ship on new Macs that haven't been available to the installed base. And we're going to ship all of those as part of Leopard. So, starting off, of course, with Bootcamp. Bootcamp is software that allows Windows. You can go out and buy a copy of Windows and run it on your Intel-based Mac. And the reaction to this has been very strong. And since we put Bootcamp out for beta, there's been over 500,000 downloads, which is great. Obviously, we're finishing up Bootcamp. It's going to be even better than the beta, and it's going to ship as part of Leopard. Another application that we ship on some of our new Macs is Front Row. Front Row gives you access to all of your media, your photos, your music, your videos from across the room, sitting on your couch. It's a wonderful way to access your media. The next generation of Front Row is going to be built into Leopard. Another example is Photo Booth. We ship Photo Booth on our new Macs that have the video cameras built in, and it's fantastic. People spend hours on Photo Booth. And we are going to build the next generation of Photo Booth into Leopard, and we've expanded the range of cameras it works with so everybody can have fun with Photo Booth. These are just three examples of how we're going to ship the complete package of applications we have with Leopard. Number four, this is a big one. We call it Spaces. Now, what is Spaces? Spaces is a new way of working on your Mac. If you're like me, you're doing a bunch of things at once. You've got a lot of apps running at once, and yet the tasks you're doing each require a few apps together. And wouldn't it be great if you could take those few apps required for a given task and create a space for them to be in? Another task has its own space with its collection of apps, and to be able to rapidly switch between those in a super intuitive manner. Well, let me show you Spaces now. So let me first bring up Mail and Safari. And, you know, I spend most of my time during the day in Mail and Safari. Have to constantly check email, looking things up on the internet, etc. But I'm making a website. I'm creating a website, and as part of that website, I'm doing a podcast. So for my podcast, I have got a space over here with GarageBand and iTunes for some music, and I'm making a podcast. And so whenever I'm got a few extra minutes, I've answered all my email, boom, I can zip over here and work on my podcast. Very, very simple. Now, I'm also working on making a website. When my podcast gets done, I'm going to put it in a website. And so I can zip down here and work on my website. I've got iWeb, I've got some images here, and I'm also making a Final Cut movie. And I've created a space for that as well. And so I can zip around these spaces just like this. I can also zip around by just clicking on the icons. Here's Mail. Here's iWeb. Here's GarageBand. Here's Final Cut Pro. Right? And here's my spaces icon right in the dock, and I can click on this and see all my spaces and just zoom anywhere I want to. Boom, boom. Right? Very cool. I can even do, let's assume that I need my web browser to create my website here. I want to see what it looks like. I can just zip this over here, and now it's there. When I'm done, I can simply move it back. So this is Spaces. And let me go ahead and clean up these apps. And so Spaces lets me create spaces with collections of apps to do certain tasks and super intuitively switch between them instantly. So if I've got an extra moment, zoom. I'm working on my website, zoom. Back to my productivity apps. That is Spaces built into Leopard. Number five, I'll turn it back to Scott.
Thanks. Number five is Spotlight. Spotlight was one of the great features of Tiger. It allows you to instantly search for any file on your machine by file name, by metadata, by contents, by all sorts of things. We're going to make Spotlight even better in Leopard. The first thing we're going to do is enable you to use Spotlight to search other machines. So if on your network there are other machines that are sharing files with you, you can now use Spotlight to remotely search them. If you have the permissions to see the files, you now have the ability to search them. This means if you're at home and you have several Macs in the house, you can sit on one Mac and search all the rest of them in the house. We're also adding the ability to search servers. So if in the office, if you have a workgroup server with all the shared assets, then from the comfort of your desk, you can search that workgroup server and find exactly what you're looking for. Next, advanced search. We've heard a lot of feedback probably from many of you in this room that you want advanced syntax for searching. You want Boolean operations. You want to be able to specify the file type right in the search query. We're adding all of that to Spotlight in Leopard. We're also going to take some of the powerful search features we had in the Finder in Tiger and put those right in the Spotlight window as well. So advanced search. Next, we're going to make Spotlight a great application launcher. You can bring up Spotlight, type one or two letters, hit return, your application's launched. And we're adding recent items to Spotlight. So when you bring up that Spotlight window, it'll be pre-populated with all the recent things you've been doing. Recent photos you've been looking at, recent spreadsheets, recent PDFs, recent presentations, everything right there, recent applications. So often, what you're looking for is right there without even doing a search. That is Spotlight for Leopard.